A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, we are in the fourth and final week of reading one of the most extraordinary and challenging sermons ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is something where Jesus gives us some tremendously challenging lessons that we try to live up to. Today, we heard a gospel that begins with a phrase we've probably heard in our lifetimes, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus actually works through a number of teachings and closes with, love your enemies and be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is a very challenging thing, but it's been something that's been around in civilization for a very, very long time. And this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth was at a time a good thing. It actually overcame over-retaliation from things that happen to people. I slap you, you kill me. We have examples all the way, for example, back to the 18th century BC. You can see in the Museum of the Louvre in Paris, France, there's a 6-foot stone slab called the Code of Hammurabi. Has on it over 300 different laws and legal traditions that governed the daily life of Babylon. One of those laws was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This became known as the law of retaliation. About 200 years after that, we see that that same law finds itself in the Torah, the early part of the Old Testament. But if you think about it, I think there's a message that Jesus has for us that would go something like this. Does that law of retaliation actually limit excessive retaliation, or does it give permission to retaliate? And I think that's what Jesus asks us to contemplate on today. Before we can figure out what Jesus is really getting at when he says, love your enemies, I think we have to figure out what he means when he says love. It turns out that the New Testament is written in Greek. There are probably at least 4 different words in the Greek language that correspond to our word love. There are 3 that are very common in Scripture. One is filial love, brotherly love. One is eros, where we get our word erotic, romantic love. And the third is agape. And agape love is considered divine love, the love of God. And the love of God, agape love, actually consists of a couple things, what people believe that to be. The first is it's willing the good of the other. And the second thing it says is that it expects no response. It demands no response. It hopes for no response from the other. So we hear in the gospel today, Jesus says, "The Father makes the sun rise on the bad and the good, and the rain come down on the just and the unjust." And he's speaking of this agape love that's throughout this gospel reading. Because what he means there is God loves everyone equally, good or bad. And that's good news, because even when we turn our backs on God, he still loves us the same. And he loves everyone. So if we get back and think about this love your enemies, this is still clearly an extremely challenging thing for us to do. And I think there's one other point, though, that helps make that easier. And that is, if we can truly love as God loves, agape love, there's the chance, through the grace of God, that that person will be transformed, that that person will be changed, that in some way that person gets lured into a better spiritual space. So how does that work? There's a story of Mother Teresa that one day she encountered a girl, a young girl, in the street that was starving to death, almost dead. She takes this girl to a local baker, and she begs for bread for this girl to eat. Mother Teresa writes in her book, "The baker spat in her face." Mother Teresa says, "Thank you for that gift for me. And now perhaps something for the child." Sometimes we're taught that when we confront aggressors, there's really only two choices, fight or flee. But you notice Mother Teresa was not a doormat. She also didn't run away. And she also didn't respond in aggression. She responded in agape love. She set an example maybe that would cause someone to be transformed. She became the leaven of love in a world that didn't always respond in love. But sometimes we do see evidence of that transformation from agape love. There was a movie in the 1950s called Stars in My Crown. And it was a story of an old grandfatherly figure lived in a cabin in the woods. And everybody in the village knew him and loved him. Every single person there learned how to fish from this grandfather. Everyone learned how to do things. Everyone learned how to hike in the woods. He was everyone's friend. Everyone loved him. Well, they found out there was a very large copper deposit on his property. And the people in the town wanted him to sell his property so they could open a copper mine. It would create jobs for people. It would turn the economy of that village around significantly. But he refused. No matter how many times they asked him, he wanted to live out his years in his cabin. So the people that had asked him started insulting him and getting angry at him. And eventually they started threatening him. And then one day they decided he needed to die. They needed that land. So pretty much the whole village gets together, they put on their hoods and their masks, and they go up in a mob to lynch him. They get up there, and who comes out the front door but the old pastor? And he said, "He's asked me to read his will to you. He knew you were coming, and he knew he was going to die today." And the pastor went through this will, one line after another. "Ricky gets my fishing rod, Mary gets my carpet, Joan gets my desk," on and on and on. He gave every single thing he had away in love. And sure enough, one by one, those hooded, masked, would-be executioners went home. They left in silence. Pretty soon, there was nobody left except for the pastor and that man's grandson. And the grandson said to his grandfather, "What was that will you read?" And the grandfather said, "Son, that was the will of God." And I tell you, when I hear that story and I think about that, doesn't that remind you of Jesus on the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's transformative love. Now, we may be at the point in our life where we say, thankfully, we have no enemy aggressors pursuing us to be violent against us. But we probably do have people that we think have hurt us, that have cheated us, that have abused us, that live in a way we can't stand, that think about things that we can't comprehend. They make us sick. Those people are in our life. We don't bear arms against those enemies, but we bear grudges. And we don't actually sit there and turn the other cheek. We turn and hide. You see, we're actually very smart because we conduct this little stealth war. Nobody's ever going to know how I really feel about that person. The problem is years and years and years later, we realize how much damage we did to that person and to us. It's a word you all know very well, baggage. So is it hard to follow Jesus' example and love your enemies? Are we going to be embarrassed? Are we going to be frustrated? Is it going to be difficult for us? Absolutely. It's going to be the hardest thing in the world. But I think if Jesus was here, he would say to you, "What strategy is better?" And Jesus would say to us, "Follow my example. Live out the divine life. Be the shining light on the good and the bad in love." If you think about it, in the world we live in today, couldn't we use some more people following Jesus' example?